Hey everyone, welcome back to the Double Click Podcast. This week we talk about part two of dealing with failure. All right, Justin, was my intro this week more appropriate for the topic?
Yeah, I got a little Eeyore there at the end, you know, a little depressed. And
I'm sorry.
But yeah,
that was
it.
Yeah. Okay, so we are talking about this week dealing once again with failure. How do you deal with failure? And if you joined us last week, we really started to hone in on the aspect of our lives where we process failure very reflexively, meaning like we have an expectation that's about ourselves that we can never live up to. Like we just continue to chase it over and over and over again. And so when it comes to failure, when it comes to how we deal with that, it's something we have to learn how to deal with. And so I'd encourage you, if you didn't understand anything that I just said, then go back, listen to last week's. If you have an issue where you fell over and over again in different areas of your life, like you haven't gotten it, you failed, you haven't gotten there, just go check out last week's podcast, because this week we're moving on from the feeling of failure solely, meaning those things that we imply, those areas of our lives that we don't live up to by our own definition. And we're moving into the moral failure. Like, what happens when you sin? How do you deal with aspects of your life where you have failed against God? And that's a little bit tougher, because I think instinctively, maybe it's not instinctively, but I feel like we switch our reactions to what we talked about last week, which is not like a moral failure, but just us not living up to our expectation. Is we quickly want to go there. We want to identify that we failed. We want to be emotional about it. We just want to be like, oh, it's horrible, da-da-da. Like, we want to emote. But when it comes to the moral failure aspect, it's almost like we want to avoid it. Like, that seems to be the first thing, is like when we sin or when we aren't obedient, or when God's telling us to do something and we just don't do it, or the other way around, it's almost like we have this instinct to pretend we're perfect and move on. Like, not stop and handle it. And that's really interesting, because I think that's one of the things, like, especially within our spiritual growth, instead of having permission to fail and grow like we do on the other side of the coin when it's talking about just our own expectations, when it comes to a moral failure, it's like we don't even want to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Right? And what is that? Let me ask you. We started with questions directed at each other.
Yeah.
We're in a little bit of a different situation, which, I mean, I'm good being open with, because we're pastors, so obviously we have to look perfect all the time.
Obviously.
Which I'm horrible at, by the way. You know, like, how do you process your own sinful failure? Like, how do you deal with that? Is there a moment in the day, like, let's go back to the other side, where you're not living up to your own expectations, failure? Like, you have these moments where you just, like, get all, or we, and I say you in a we sense, like, we have these moments where we get, like, all in our emotions and feels, and mine's frustration, yours, you said, snowballs.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the moral failure aspect, I don't think I process that the same way.
Yeah. I think for me, it's really getting into God's word and seeing what his truth says about it. And maybe this is along the lines of what you're getting at. One of the things that had helped me years ago when dealing with sin in my life, cause I remember years ago going, oh, I failed. God, forgive me. Please forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me.
Yep.
And someone reminding me that forgiveness is already mine, right? Forgiveness, that work is already done on the cross. So I don't have to strive or yearn and long for this forgiveness. God's already forgiven me, but I do have to confess. I do have to deal with the failure, the sin in my life. And so for me, where I'm at currently, I'm not afraid to go to God and go, hey, God, I messed up. I failed here. Again, because if I'm in a healthy spot, if I'm in my relationship with the Lord, that I know for him, that doesn't define who I am. He knows that I'm going to mess up. Romans 3:23, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's telling us right now, we've all sinned and we're all going to fall short. That falling short is a failing in a sense, right? We're never going to live up to his glory. And so, and his standard. And so for me, I think the dealing with it is just understanding my identity and my relationship to Him, and knowing that He's a loving God, that when I do go to Him, when I do confess, you know, He's faithful and just to help me deal with that. And again, going back to what we talked about last podcast, guilt versus conviction.
Yeah.
I need to eliminate the guilt, which is my feelings about my sin, and lean into the conviction side to go, okay, God, You've pricked my heart. I know this is wrong. What do I need to change within myself or a situation to be more like You? And then move forward from there. God doesn't want us to wallow in pity. He wants us to move forward in freedom and forgiveness.
And I think that's it. We said this last week, and I think it applies here as well. There's this big aspect of, do we want to grow and change and become more like God? Like, do we want to have to deal with the work that's necessary to make the change mm-hmm. when failure occurs? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same question, but it's almost like we handle it in two different ways. Because I think when we get to the moral one, there's this avoidance aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times when I'm in my spiritual walk and it is as simple as like, hey, I just need to go to God, pray, talk through Him about it, do all the relational things that need to happen to acknowledge my wrong, and then just move forward and in accepting His forgiveness. But then there are also times where it's like a complete avoidance.
Mm.
Like, and this is kind of like in your spiritual walk, the way you handle the Holy Spirit, because I mean that's the number one thing the Holy Spirit does is convict. And to define conviction and guilt out a little bit more, guilt is an emotional feeling. Like, it's a weight that sits on top of you. For me, when it comes to conviction, it's a little different. Like, the way that it, for lack of better phrasing, feels is a little bit different. Because one, it's something that I already know.
Mm.
Right? It's not something that just swarms on me at the moment. It can at times. But there's a very distinctly, within me, there's a very different feeling between a humanized emotional guilt trip
mm-hmm.
and me being convicted, because at the end of the conviction thing, it's a relationship. When it comes to the guilt factor, it's just the way I feel about myself.
Right, and I think guilt, kind of going off that, makes us feel like we're going to be all alone.
Yep.
Conviction, I think, draws us into a relationship with God, and also to go, hey, there's others that are broken like you in the family of God. But
yep.
Guilt is that, hey, you're alone, you're out on an island, and no one sins quite like you do.
Yeah, and conviction always, the next step after feeling convicted, or having the feeling of conviction, or the Holy Spirit arousing that within you, is a talk to somebody or do something every time for me.
Yeah.
It's always a...
an action step.
It's a direct action step, whereas guilt is just trying to get the self feeling to go away.
Yeah, you should just lay here and wallow in whatever right. you're feeling.
And one of those, I think, you know, in both of those, like, when you're dealing with both of those in a negative way, you move to distraction, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just try not to think about it. It goes back to the don't think about the pink elephant thing. Like, it's in your head.
Right.
You know, or like I say, happens all the time. Like, even, you know, full confession. Like when I'm trying to avoid a spiritual conviction, and then the pastor gets up and he's talking about that, and the Holy Spirit's just like putting it on me at that moment. Instinctively, it's like, what's for lunch? What's for lunch? What's for lunch? Football, football. Like, whatever I can in my head to not think about it, just be like, oh, I wonder how they get the lights rated. Da, 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 da. Whatever it is, I will chase in my mind to move away from it. And I was actually just in my quiet times this week, like, there was this one principle that kind of came away from it. Like, and this was me thinking through, like, what happens in those, because we all go through those seasons. It can be a few moments, a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, a few years, whatever, where we lean into sin and we just don't start the conversation with God about it.
Mm.
Where we push off what we know to be true, and we don't listen to that conviction, and we create that distance between us and God. And I think one of the things that God brought to light this week with me, future sermon, by the way, is the fact that just because we're sinning and we're turning away from God at that moment doesn't mean He's not standing right there.
Yeah.
Because I think in my head, a lot of times I've thought, well, if I'm struggling with sin, or I'm in a season where I'm not being obedient, or where I'm not, and this is like super church realm, right?
Mm.
I'm not doing anything on the super wrong list.
Yeah.
And I'm not actively sinning, but I'm not necessarily pursuing God either.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm just kind of in that dangerous little lukewarm, going through the motions, living life category. the reality is like there's in my head, there was this big walk to go back to where God is. So it's kind of like this, the story of the prodigal son, right? He had to go on this journey back to where his father was. Mm-hmm. But the reality is God is just right there with us the whole time.
Yep.
And so instead of like viewing a struggle with sin as something that you don't want to talk to God about, like I think one of the key ways out of that, like out of through that season or through that lull, is just making up in your mind, going, you know what? I'm going to bring all my ugly to God every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the whole point of having a relationship with Him. The only, if we're talking about moral failure or sinning, the only time we fail at that is when we fail to bring that to God, when we fail to trust Him
yeah.
to help us deal with that. That is why He is, I don't want to say it that way, but that's why He's there, right? Like that He's there for us to have a relationship with Him, for us to be able to come to Him and go, Father, I've sinned. And He's going to go, I know. And then you guys are going to work together to get past that. It's not a, I've sinned in secret, because again, like you were saying, I don't think there's a such thing with God. He's omnipresent. Right, exactly. He's always there, and He's designed us to need Him and to need His forgiveness. He gave us His Son. He made a way for us to have a relationship with Him, for our sins to be forgiven, because He knew already that we were going to fall into the moral failure that we find ourselves in.
Right, and one way I can kind of like let's put this in a practical example when we're talking about the relational tension, understanding that God never does anything wrong. We're always the ones that make a mistake. But if you ever think about like an argument with a like in college, like you and your roommate get in an argument, or you and your spouse, and both of you are at that point where you're so angry you're not talking to each other, and so what you instinctively do is you leave the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you end up in that situation where, okay, it's unavoidable, meal's ready, whatever, and you're sitting at the same table, not talking, with all the tension in the world hanging in the air. Mm-hmm. Well, what instinctively happens in that moment when you're face-to-face with the person you have mad tension over? You eventually just blurt it out,
mm-hmm.
right? Because right then, that relationship is in your face, and we've got to deal with it. And I think that's what I was talking about on that perspective of God being something we have to journey to versus God being right there in the middle of our sinfulness and ugliness. Mm-hmm. Like He is in the muck and the mire and the sorrow with us because He's already paid the penalty for that.
Right.
Like He sent His Son Jesus. And so He is right there with us. And then I started thinking about it in a parental sense, right?
Mm.
Because, you know, that was one of my biggest fears was before I became a parent. I don't know if I've ever told you this. Like one of my biggest fears of like one of those things I wanted to avoid was the reality of God sent His only Son. And then if I ever had a son and got to begin to touch what that emotion was like, I'm in my mid 20s going like, I'm not ready for this. Okay. You know, right. And so that reality that God loves you that much.
Yeah.
And that's where all of a sudden, like when you start to talk about, when you do talk through the gospel and you get to the point where somebody has accepted Jesus as their savior and you get to the now what,
yeah.
right? And you realize, and they'll talk about, well, we're just so overcome by how, what He's done for us that we live our life serving Him. That's where you get to that point.
Yeah.
Like you're literally sitting there sinning blatantly against God and He's standing behind you with open arms just waiting for you to turn around and hug Him.
Yeah.
And that's just like, what?
Yeah. Well, and as you were saying that, I went back to your original kind of question, why we broke this podcast into two parts of why do we kind of wallow in the failures of our flesh, like our of our feelings, and then why do we completely avoid moral failure? And as I was kind of mulling that over in my head, I wonder if that's a tactic of Satan. And what I'm saying is
blame the enemy. I understand.
Well, but seriously, like if we fail at something that we want to be known for, identity, what we tell ourselves or what I tell myself is, see, you failed at that. You'll never be this. You'll never live up to that. And I think that's the place where the enemy wants us, right? It's kind of perverted view of our identity and who we are. And if we're sunk down deep in that, then we're immobile. We're stuck there. We're paralyzed there. And we avoid the things of God because if we have moral failure or sin in our life and we go to God with that, that may be a little bit of a painful discipline that comes, or a conviction, or whatever, but it's change in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's change from God, then it's always going to be healthy. It's always going to be good. It's always going to grow us closer and mobilize us to get out and reach the world and be who God really intended us to be. And so I think maybe that's the reason why we break that out into those two camps, because again, disc golf, we used that example last week, if I'm beating myself up about not being great at disc golf or whatever it is, you know, insert your illustration there, then I'm woe is me, my head's hung down. If I'm avoiding the things of God, then, and not letting him do his work in me, then he can't change my heart. He can't change my perspective. But if I allow him to, now I'm energized, I'm refreshed. I've dealt with that moral failure. I've dealt with that sin, and now I can go out and live. So I don't know if that's clear, but I think that's some of the reasons why we wallow and we're so quick to just sit in our feelings and our failure, but we are afraid to walk with God in the moral failure sense, because maybe somewhere in just our created being, we know that when we go to him, he's going to help us deal with it, which may be unpleasant at first, but it's going to unlock us and give us freedom moving forward.
Well, I mean, change is always unpleasant.
Yeah.
That's why people avoid change. That's why we... You know, that's why people are very upset that the world changes on a regular basis, right? And they keep chasing history. We need to go back to things, what things were when I was a kid or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you were saying that, and as we're breaking down these two different types of failure, and once again, I really encourage you to listen last week. We did a much better job talking about type one, where it's you not living up to your own standards. So, putting together what you just said there is you have that type of failure where you're not living up to your own standards that are all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have moral failure, which is all about God.
Yep.
And when you reverse those to a negative sense, meaning let our sinful nature, like you were talking about, take over and kind of pollute what's going on, what we do then is we ignore the aspect of failure that is all about God and his glory. We focus on the one that's all about us, and then we whine that we don't get it all. Because
mm-hmm.
we are trying to work so hard to make ourselves known, right? Mm-hmm. Like to worship ourselves.
Yeah.
But you flip that the complete other way around, and you start to realize, wait, my identity's in Christ. So I'm not going to allow this sinful sense of failure on the, not sinful, but on the self-absorbed side, on the self-definition, to dominate my day. I'm going to pursue the things of God. And because of his death and resurrection on the cross, I don't want to do anything against him because I love him. And like you draw that out even further into the example of, you know, God is the king, and you hear that over and over again. He's your king. It's his kingdom. Like you see that in scripture, and that's something Americans have no clue about, right?
Yeah.
Like we don't like what our leaders are doing. You know, there's not somebody who can just walk into a room and be like, oh, we don't like him, he's done. Mm-hmm. Like a king would. But that's our master, our king that's there. And we have this huge concern as believers that, hey, we want to serve him to the best of our ability. So we're checking with him on everything. We're doing things the way he tells us to do it. All of a sudden, there's no room there where failure happens.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you do fail because you're human, our God is gracious and merciful. And it's just a completely different dynamic. Mm-hmm. And when you sit down and you really start to think about it, it begins to overwhelm you, and it begins to dictate your day around what's going to glorify God instead of I want to be known as.
That's right.
Well, anyway, we hope this was helpful to you. We would encourage you, reach out to us. We'll continue to post and to talk, with our goal being that it helps you just have a better conversation with God, a deeper conversation with God, or start a conversation with God you wouldn't have otherwise. We want you to know who this God is, how much he loves us, and everything that he's done for us. If you have questions, please reach out. Matt@richfork.com, Justin@richfork.com. We thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.